take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham.
I still come on the program. Former State Representative Paul DeMarco, good friend of ours, and Secretary of State John Merrill. That's all coming up here in just a little bit. But joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest, represents us folks in South Mobile County, State Representative Chip Brown. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. It's great to be with you. Hope you had a great Easter and look forward to a good week.
Yeah, well, another week back up in Montgomery tomorrow. The time, it seems to be ticking to get a lot of things done, but what do you think so far this session? You had a mad rush right at the very beginning, didn't know what was going to happen, but things seem to have kind of settled down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the experience from last year with the coronavirus coming on and messing up and ruining the session, I think that really was fresh in everyone's mind. So we had a big flurry of activity early on, and now we're kind of hitting our stride, and we've turned the halfway point in the session, and we're really ahead of the game right now, ahead of schedule. So that's a good thing to have, I think.
Yeah.
Budgets
so
and everything.
You got the general fund onto the Senate, and then you guys are dealing with the ETF. The budget seemed to be moving along, but this is. The way Alabama legislature works is those first 3 years are where you really get stuff done. And then that fourth year is kind of, maybe not as aggressive with some of this legislation. You're getting ready for reelection or new elections or whatever. But do you get the sense heading into this kind of more in the middle of it now, the second half of the session, people are getting a little antsy maybe?
We still have a lot of big issues hanging out there. I mean, the lottery issue and the gaming issue in the Senate still out there. And I mean, I personally have a couple of bills that have been on the floor on the calendar, in the Senate twice. And, they weren't able to get to them being Anaya's law because of filibusters on other issues. And so, those things are to be expected, but I do think we still have some big issues out there that we have to address.
On the gaming issue, all the action's been in the Senate. Whenever I talk to leadership in the House or anybody else, they just seem resigned to, let's deal with this later in the year in a special session. Let's let Governor Ivey kind of take the lead. And she's indicated she's willing to as much in her public statements. But, does that seem to be where things are headed? Because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot going on in the House on gaming.
Well, quite possibly. I mean, I think all eyes are on the Senate and what happens in the Senate on that issue. And, we're at the halfway point. So if decisions were to be made, they need to be made quickly. And, that wouldn't surprise me to come back in a special session and isolate that issue and just deal with it then. But, we need to have something, especially in the lottery. That's what I prefer, is a standalone vote on the lottery by itself. I think most of my colleagues probably feel the same way. I can't speak for them, but just having conversations, I believe that's the way most of them feel.
Representative, one of the reasons I want to get you on, it all kind of ties to what's going on in Georgia, not so much with that legislation or any of that, but the pressure that corporate America, or at least the perception to me, is they're putting on the state of Georgia. The reason I want to ask you is, like, you seem to be one of the first guys to say, hey, with these tech companies that we're giving all these economic incentives to, whoa, this is not something we support here in Alabama. And, while it's just a drop in the bucket to an Amazon or a Google's overall bottom line, the idea that taxpayers that would incentivize, this behavior or companies that engage in this behavior was something that a lot of people, it was kind of a put off. What do you think of that, though? As a whole, the mix of these corporations that obviously provide much needed jobs and other economic factors, versus like their politics and injecting their politics, especially at the level of the state, at the state level, to influence that. I mean, it doesn't seem to be I think a very good thing for our system of government.
Well, I agree. I mean, I believe that, you know, just like I feel sports should be sports, business should be business. And when you really cross over, particularly on issues like, tax abatements and tax credits, it's you're going against the will of the majority of the people. Let's say in Alabama, Alabama is a conservative state. So if a Delta came out or an Amazon or a Google and really pushes issues that aren't supported by the majority of Alabamians, then why should they get tax credits? Why should they get tax abatements? And you've seen that in Georgia with Delta Airlines. And in Texas, we're really going to see it also with American. I mean, you know, just get back to business. Hire people, put people to work. I mean, stop all the social nonsense and picking sides and just work for the people and work for the company. And I mean, it's just, it's gotten to a point, really, what happens, Jeff, as you know, is the left threatens economic boycotts and they threaten pressure. And so these corporations will bow to that side and then thinking they can just really walk over the people that are on the other side politically. And that's wrong. I mean, you know, you're in business. You're not in the business of crafting policy. So I support what they're doing in Georgia. I think it's, I hate to see that type of thing, but you have to make a stand somewhere.
Well, I tell you, if corporations have the ability to, they have some different advantages than, say, you or I, John Q. Citizen, would have. We could give money to campaigns or causes, but they're getting money. They're getting something in return. They're getting these economic incentives to do business in a state. They're getting tax breaks that you and I wouldn't get. And I think this becomes kind of the slippery slope argument. How about what is the value of their economic input into a certain state's economy? But it's coming, it could come at this price where they could really fundamentally change, kind of go against the cultural norms and the values of that state. And that seems like a very dangerous, trajectory to me.
No, I agree. I mean, it is, because you then you run into the situation in the reverse where you're holding tax credits and abatements as you're holding that hostage to the what policies they have, and then one day it might flip on the other side. So I wish companies would get back to stop bending at the knee to the PC police and to the leftist, and would get back to just being in the business of being business and being good corporate citizens and taking a stand. I mean, it's like a bully in school. You're going to continue to get bullied until you stand up. And when you actually stand up and make a stand and say, no, we're just doing this, then you're going to continue to get bullied. And so I think that's what you're seeing in Georgia with the state legislature there taking a stand. And, you know, I wish that these corporations would stand up to those on the left that put pressure on them and threaten them with economic boycotts if they don't go along. And I don't think that, you know, tax credits and things like that, there's a big move nationwide to do away with that. But the problem with that is kind of like building a bulkhead on the bay. You know, your neighbor builds a bulkhead, and then your shoreline's going to erode, so you have to build a bulkhead, and then so on, and it's all down the road. And it's just like tax credits for economic development. You know, ideally, you could be able to say, hey, this is our workforce and this is what we have. But if you don't offer incentives, then you can't compete in the modern world, in the environment nationwide, to lure these big companies to your state. But I think more and more of a spotlight is going to be shown on that, because really, why should tax credits be given to companies that go against the very grain and fabric of the majority of the people that live in our state?
Right. And you know, it's all of this done in the name of jobs, but you would think there were ways, especially a state like Alabama, let's compare it to any other, you know, northern blue state with all kinds of regulations, that there are other things that you could offer that exist for everybody that make the state stand out compared to other states, that you maybe that is, you know, but every state's going to do what every state's going to do, I suppose, and it becomes a bidding war, like you say.
Well, one of the most attractive things that we have in Alabama is that we're a right-to-work state. And, you know, that has been one of the big incentives that has led to having a pretty large automotive industry in Alabama, because the fact that you don't have to join a union if you don't want to. You know, you're not forced. You can't have a strictly union shop by force. And so that over the years has led to a lot of economic development in Alabama. And then also, if you look at it from a regulation standpoint, Alabama is not an over-regulated state in the regards of comparing it to, say, a New York or a Michigan. And that's attractive to companies. You know, we have a good workforce in Alabama, and we have a good work ethic compared to a lot of places. And so those items are attractive. And, you know, infrastructure-wise, we're building up our infrastructure. We have, particularly here on the Gulf Coast, we have two major interstates. We have more rail than anyone else coming in the Port of Mobile. So, I mean, those things are attractive as well.
Well, and it's interesting, like, you know, you think of economic incentives, that's just kind of like a spark to get something going. And all too often now, I mean, it's just the name of the game. It's the means, and it seems to be one of the only means to get these big these big companies to come to your state, which is, I guess, you look at something like up in North Alabama, Mazda, Toyota, maybe it's worth it. But, you know, we do have to weigh the other cost. And I like I say, somebody was running for governor, and they quipped this, that they heard from a business owner that said that he would be better off leaving Alabama and then coming back and getting economic incentivized to come back to Alabama than just staying where he was. I mean, it's sometimes this whole discussion, it seems like, or this whole issue seems to be getting off the rails.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, definitely. I mean, I remember back when Jim Folsom Jr. was in office, and, you know, one of the original incentives in the package to get Mercedes was that the state would switch over from whatever current cars they were driving to Mercedes vehicles for the next, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. And then that eventually the legislature, in their wisdom, pulled that out of the package. But you know, sometimes that does go overboard. I mean, it's a competition. It is. I mean, it's like any competition between states, and it does get political, and it does, a lot of times some things are thrown at companies that are unnecessary just in order to get them here.
I just get the sense, though, that finally, I guess you're watching what's going on in Georgia, but you're going to start have to see some of these legislators, at least at the state level government, and maybe even some local level government, had to take a stand against, you know, being dictated to by a Coca-Cola how it's going to do its business. And you know, I would argue that I think Coca-Cola probably needs the state of Georgia as much as Georgia needs Coca-Cola. That's the same with Amazon, right? They need us as customers in Alabama as much as they need our low labor cost or whatever that is. And sometimes we don't, I guess, as a state, recognize that leverage.
Well, that's right. Exactly. And then you see, you know, like, say, a company like Delta. I mean, where are they going to go? American, where are they going to go? They can't, from an infrastructure standpoint, there's no way that they could immediately stand up another hub. I mean, you know, that's been years and years there that have, you know, I mean, there's just nowhere for them to go. And so, I think a lot of times, I think you're correct. A lot of times we don't realize the leverage we have as states. And, you know, hopefully that's changing. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, I entered in that anti-censorship bill this year and, to try to wake some people up, you know, to try to say, hey, look, You know, we have the power. The power is not with the corporations. The power is with the people and the states. And we've got to realize that. We've got to, you know, we have to start addressing that through good, sound policy and decisions about who comes and who doesn't come, not just solely on the basis of the monetary on the money side, but also on the basis of, do they have the actual values of America? Are they standing up for the Republic, or are they going against the Republic? You know, are their values hurtful to America and to Alabama? And so I think that I'm hoping and I'm thinking that you're going to start seeing more of that with what's going on recently with, you know, Coca-Cola, Delta, Major League Baseball.
Well, Representative, we're out of time here, but this was a good discussion, and we'll pick it up again real soon.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always great to be with you. I appreciate it. I hope you have a good week.
Thank you. That was State Representative Chip Brown. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Getting hammered, sitting right here at the floor.